It was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 504. Is that outside? Okay.
No, it wasn't Mike.
It sounded like it came from the speaker.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, I was wondering if Alexa had not stopped. That's why I asked. I was talking. I wasn't sure. Thought maybe Mike had, you know,
she
or could have had.
She wants to stop.
Alexa is fighting back. Oh, Marley, you're about. Oh, you were drifting off. Yes. So. You had to be here to understand any of this, but I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Mike.
Marley.
Pat.
Spencer.
Rex is on Spencer. The floor next to me, yes. So, it's a banner week. Not really. This was a really, really light week of books. Ridiculously so, actually. A lot of Marvel stuff has been kicked down the road. Like, Spider-Man was number one was supposed to come out last week, then this week, and now it's next week.
It'll come out eventually.
DC was kind of normal. Nothing really from like the Diamond stuff. There wasn't really any like a big Image book or anything. So it was a poor week. Which stinks just because we put out a bunch of new back issues and didn't have a lot of traffic today. So no biggie. It'll all work out, I guess. It's 4:20, so everybody's off doing stuff. But Dave's here, so all's right in the world.
It's my second busiest day of the year, Colin.
Wow. I had no idea. Okay. Lesson learned.
I'll just leave it at that.
So he doesn't just deliver toys now.
That's correct. He's now dispensing things, yes. Just with the Marvel weird shipping, it kind of explains a lot about the bad paper. And they had said a while back that when there was a discussion about the paper shortages and stuff, they kind of went, we're not affected by this. Like, you know, we're above that and everything. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, maybe you were, and we're trying to hide it by putting out inferior product and stuff. Which makes me think, if they are affected by the paper shortages and stuff, why are they putting out some books that don't need to come out? Did we need Hulk Grand Design right now? Do we need Silk? Do we need, you know, there's so many Marvel books that we could live without.
Could we, though?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, let's get Amazing Spider-Man out on time and let something else
Spider-Punk.
Wait. You know, Spider-Punk. Yeah, there was no timeliness for Spider-Punk. You know, so I don't know. What do I know? I just work here.
Can't plan these things, Colin.
No, you can't. You can't. Yeah. So, I don't remember any news. I don't even pay attention anymore.
Ezra Miller got arrested again.
Yeah. I'm going to say that Flash movie, they're just going to go, we're done with
this.
They're
not doing it.
Did they say that?
I think they said they're not doing it now, yeah.
I thought it was, like, already done.
Yeah, I think it's, like, done.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know.
Because it was supposed to come out in a couple of months, I think.
Well, it was supposed to come out, like, 5 years ago.
Well, I mean, after things have actually got filmed.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they'd shelve it for that. But I think that's why his character was thrown out of the Harry Potter.
Whoops.
Well, he just hit a lady in the head with a chair this time.
Well,
yeah, it happens when you're on vacation.
Yeah. You've never been on vacation, gotten into a, you know, a bar fight?
No, I've never really assaulted people with chairs, but yeah, I'm willing to.
You ain't living then, sir.
Yeah. I mean, we know what your preferred weapon of choice is, but.
Boing. Hi, how you doing?
Colin obviously didn't read the second issue of Hit Me.
We will be talking about that later.
I did read that.
And you can't think of which.
No, no, I understand, but I'm just saying, I didn't know that was Mike's preferred method.
It is now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's red-crossed, I see. Okay. I will not say that out loud. So good news, we have an IBTI question. So there are, sadly, only 7 parts.
I was like, do we need to take notes?
No, I'll read slowly.
expecting less.
DC has had a history of great writers who understood the DCU on an encyclopedic level. Examples: Mark Waid, Geoff Johns, Grant Morrison. Which newer generation DC writer has that trait? I know Josh Williamson
I was listening
to his, I think his off panel, and he was talking about how he is fairly encyclopedic. And like when he had the turtle, who was one of the Flash's first villains in the beginning of his run, and all the stuff going into Dark Crisis. And even he was reading some like Secret Invasion and was texting Bendis about it. This was more recently, and he's like, Bendis is like, don't you have other things to do? So I say Josh Williamson, and to a, I don't know exactly, but Tom King loves the obscure.
Scott Snyder to a as well.
Somebody just posted that it was an anniversary of the greatest character in comic history, and it was the guy holding his face on the cover of Action Comics number one. And they're like, Tom King should really do a series about that. I'm like, I bet he could. You know, the guy goes home, you won't believe what I saw, Martha. I can't deal with this.
Tinian seems to know, like, you know what I mean, whenever he gets into, like, the Bat family, you know, he seems to know, like, the lore pretty well, you know, of that and stuff.
Okay, number two, is the death of the Justice League a DC event that you're looking forward to? Well, technically, it's not really an event, it's just one issue. And no. I've read it, so I can't answer this.
No, not at all. Because I'm going to wait for they do another reboot and bring back the real Justice League.
Well, they will. That's why it's leading into Dark Crisis.
That's why I don't care.
Yeah.
You're
not, you're about their deaths?
Okay. Yeah.
Come on, Mike, just play the game.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, but it really means a lot to me.
Deaths only mean something if they last more than, like, four issues. Sorry, that's kind of my minimum.
Okay, number three is a tough one. You're going to have to think long and hard on this one. Okay, ready? Dairy Queen or Brewster's? I'm Dairy Queen. I'm a normal ice cream guy.
I worked at Dairy Queen in high school. It's Dairy Queen all the
way. Yeah. Dairy
Queen. Even after you got locked into their...
It only made them love it.
Yeah, most people I know are soft serve people, but I like the
I worked when they invented the Blizzard, and we used to have to turn them all upside
down. Oh, yeah, they still do.
And it, at that point, nobody knew how to make them properly, so they would go like this.
It was parachutists at the Nationals game caused the Capitol to be.
Once you eat ice cream out of one of the plastic batting helmets.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, with the hot fudge, and you're scraping it off. Yes, thank you. Oh, I've just relived my childhood. Yep. Thank you, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Dave does.
One of the many things he does.
Yeah. Well, he delivers.
Okay, only Dave can answer this question. Why is Brian Michael Bendis not having the same kind of success at DC that he had at Marvel? That's an easy answer. Because he's doing the same things, but 10 years later, it's all, you know, he's already done it, and, you know.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe he doesn't connect with the characters.
Could be.
The DC characters on some level as much as he does with
Marvel. And Spider-Man. And
Daredevil. Yeah. And
but even he wore out his welcome, you know, well before he even got to X-Men and stuff. You know,
is he a Marvel fanboy, though?
He might be.
Well,
I don't know.
I think he likes both because I think he was like a big Superman guy. I think that's what got him over to DC. I think that's like what he wanted to do.
He tells the story that before he went to DC, he was in Cleveland and they had a big Superman exhibit there since it's the birthplace of Superman. And he got like really inspired. I don't know if it's shown up on the page. I haven't read that.
Yeah, I don't think it.
I think his time has come.
Yeah.
And he just continues to do the same old.
But well, like I said with Joy Operations, the voice sounds the same for every character, and like you said, Colin.
Which is even worse when they're your characters, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't think like the weird like mess that like the DC office has been in has probably helped either.
Right.
Because... Too, like, he's not even doing, like, the same kind of books, like, he had Superman, but, like, you know, normally he kind of had, like, a flagship kind of, you know what I mean?
What was his flagship when he came over? I can't even remember.
He got Superman in action.
And then Legion, whatever that.
Yeah.
And then the whole Checkmate and all that stuff.
Is he even with DC anymore?
He's still doing that Legion versus Justice League book if it ever comes out.
But he did that one Batman book.
That was the Walmart book.
Yeah, but when it came, like, when it finally came out on trade, like, it was really good. That was, like, a really good book. Like, if he did more stuff kind of like that.
But the biggest thing with Bendis, following his career, he did too much too often, and he'd burn himself out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally.
Well,
how many reboots of Powers do we need?
Well, look at his Avengers run. I mean, he did the... There was just, like, the Avengers, and then there was the new Avengers, and then they both came out twice a month, yeah. And then they both started tying into each other, so you had, like, a four-time-a-book... Like, if you were getting the Avengers, you had to get, like, four books.
I did love that Avengers stuff, though. I was into that.
Yeah. Well, the early stuff. Towards the end, I was just kind of like, I'm only getting this because I've got everything else. That's what my always thing with him was always needing so many books to tell a story. That's my only issue with him. But like I said before, his ultimate run, like most of his Spider-Man ultimate and his other ultimate stuff, really too. I really like that stuff. It's just sometimes he probably needs a break, is what it is probably.
Yeah,
but he doesn't know when to say no.
Yeah.
Well, I think he got done whole after he got sick.
Like, someone above him should say, go sit down, Brian.
Yeah, but can anybody say that to him at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be able to.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone's afraid to tell you no, that's never a good sign.
Yeah.
Okay. Are New Balance sneakers truly the shoe of middle-aged men? Are they hip? I don't know.
Yes, they are. No, they're not hip.
Okay, I've never had New Balance.
They're very comfortable.
I have
a pair of walking.
Yeah, I'm Skechers.
Best hot sauce brand?
Tabasco.
I don't really know. I'm not a hot sauce guy.
Me either.
Mm-mm.
Sorry. And John Romita Sr., the best Spidey artist?
I
can't disagree with that. I'm a Ditko guy, but I also greatly respect Romita.
I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. His run, his quality, never faltered. What about his son?
I liked his 80s stuff, because I was getting that. But
it's so weird, like, looking at his, like, older, like, X-Men stuff. To just not, or even to, like, you know, the early, like, 2000s before people really started, like, hitting the stuff. It changed a lot.
That's it. That's for the questions. That's a podcast. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry.
I mean, if we don't want to talk about Hit Me, then.
Well, Mike,
did you
read Hit Me?
Yeah, we're going to start with that?
Well, you can start talking about Hit Me.
Start with a bang.
I did read Hit
Me. Okay, I read Hit Me number 2. So, wow. Lulu is on the run because she accidentally grabbed a bag of diamonds.
Oh, she didn't accidentally grab anything.
Let's go accidentally on purpose.
No, she accidentally walked in on her dude getting murdered.
Yeah.
But she grabbed them diamonds on purpose.
Yeah. So she's with the guy that got shot, was he shot in the leg or whatever?
Yeah, but that's her bodyguard.
So she's trying to get him better by Dominatrix?
Yeah.
So
she seems a lovely lady.
Yeah, they're clearly on the lam, and so the bad guys enter the building, and perhaps the two greatest page spread I've seen in a very long time, and there were, as Pat mentioned, there was foreshadowing. There's a large dildo sitting on the shelf.
Whoa. Marital aid. We don't use that word on the podcast.
Wobbly big finger.
Wait a minute. So that just popped up in my Facebook feed.
See? Don't talk. You mentioned it.
An ad for New Balance.
Oh, that's what popped up.
My mind was the same place yours was.
Yeah,
New Balance.
So in two pages, she's assaulting this dude with a giant sexual device. Can I stop right there? You can't get better than that.
Well, I mean, then the story then...
I thought you'd be a bit of a tease if you did.
They had to, because the doctor, the nurse...
The dominatrix.
The dominatrix nurse who sewed the guy up also ratted him out.
Yeah. And so the bad guys shoot her bodyguard, and she thinks he's dead, so she runs away.
They did really make it look like
he was... Oh, I thought he was dead, too. Yeah. But then later on, they call and say, hey, we have your guy. Give us the diamonds. And she's like, no, he's dead. And they, like, he screams out, and like, he's not dead. So, I'm really enjoying this book. And after those pages, big time.
Big time.
Big time. Did you like it, Colin?
I did. I wonder about the writer, but other than that.
Why?
Why?
Well, just she seems to have a lot of knowledge about.
It's 2022.
There's
brother.
Nothing wrong with having nothing wrong with a healthy sexual appetite.
Yeah. True, but the beating part is
concerning. Have you seen Clockwork Orange? That was 1972.
I'm just saying somebody that wants to take beatings, you know, it's just is their job is a little odd.
Well, no. Okay. If she can make money doing that.
It's still a little odd.
Everybody likes something.
I also read Radio Spaceman number 2 from McNulla. Sorry. So they're on the planet, and there's this giant monster that looks like a giant frog. His name is Gargoom. And it's literally out of the Godzilla movie. So you have Gargoom and, like, these two other crazy creatures. And he's there to rescue the one astronaut lady who's got stuck on the planet. And half the issues is just giant splash pages of these monsters battling each other. And then towards the end of the pages, one of the creatures is, I guess you'd call it, like, a devil ghost one. And the astronaut lady that he was rescuing turned into a vampire and destroyed her. And all is good. And they go flying off into space and said, never mention this again. It was fun. It was different. It was definitely not typical Mignola. But he definitely was referencing, like, you know, Godzilla, old cheesy movies. I wish he would have done the cover, though. He didn't do the cover for number 2.
Is that separate from the Hellboy
universe? Yeah. It actually originated from, he was doing these covers during the pandemic, and he was raising money for auctions. And that was, like, one of the drawings he did, and he came up with a story from it, which was kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
Wrong Earth, Fame and Fortune, number 1, by Mark Russell. I loved how they did this issue. They did Earth Alpha and Earth Omega, and they're basically trying to establish a football stadium in the town. And there's the Alpha side, which is the good side, and the Omega side, which is the dark side. And they're doing panel-by-panel comparisons of how the good and the bad are trying to get the money.
Yeah, and it's partly financed by Richard Fame, who's Dragonfly Man. And on Earth Alpha, he's like, this is going to bring the city together. Earth Omega, he's all about the revenue from towing cars and stuff like that, and public drunkenness.
And the other thing, too, is, like, Russell always has a tendency to do this sometimes, and it gets very political. And it's a very underlying political, like, money buys bad things. And then the stadiums are built, people are there, and they did everything they possibly could to get these stadiums built on time. They rush things, they cut corners, all these things you're not supposed to do. And the one thing that I was just baffled by, he talked the union guy out of not coming on the job site, and how do you do that?
Yeah, well, it's Earth Alpha.
It's Earth Alpha, okay. I guess he could convince them. So they cut corners, the cement was soft, the ground was bad, the wiring's bad. So they're playing a football game. They're literally falling through the field in the middle.
It's interesting because we see the differences, but we see the similarities,
absolutely,
too, between them. But they just have different ways of going about, you know, ducking everything and getting out of town after the walls start crumbling
down.
And
the ultimate result is it all comes to the same
fruition. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, you have dark and light, but it still comes to the same point.
Right, right, exactly.
And it's not a good outcome. Yes. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was
the fact that excellent. Mark Russell was writing these guys was really cool.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah. I like the artwork, too. The art was really cool.
Yeah, Mike Montanat. Should say his name.
The other one I will talk about is Flashpoint Beyond Zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard of that.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns and Eduardo Rizzo.
Mm-hmm. Which was, oh, the art. Oh, if I missed him.
Is he doing all of them?
I don't think so. No.
Oh. So.
Yeah, because I think like they're coming up in like the next one's coming up in a week or two, I think.
So it's basically Thomas Wayne is like reevaluating what went down and how his son died, how he was a better Batman. One of the interesting parts I thought of the story, this was just crazy. He finds Barry Allen and he's trying to give him back his powers and he like ties him up, all these chemicals with lightning and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he gets harpooned? Is that what he got?
No, he didn't get
harpooned. No, the chemicals got harpooned.
Oh, the chemicals got harpooned. Okay.
So he just got turned into a crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, wait a minute. That was Barry Allen. He just died. But,
Well, what I liked about this issue is that Jeff Johns did a nice, easy kind of, like, run through of, like, of like, because, like, the history of Thomas Wayne has been kind of confusing for the past couple years. With the original Flashpoint, and then him being in Tom King's Batman run, and then, like, with the Justice League incarnate and stuff like that, so he was able... Because, like, at times, he was like, is this the same Thomas Wayne? Is that Thomas Wayne? Or is this a different Thomas Wayne? And, like, no, he was able to hear that, like, Thawne brought him over, and then he tried to save Bruce, but he did it the wrong way. Like, you know what I mean? So he was able to... I like that, that they kind of cleared some of that mess up a little bit.
What was with the mannequin people, or what are they called?
Mime and...
Oh, yeah, mannequin.
What was that about?
Oh, that was from Doomsday Clock.
Did you mean Doomsday Clock?
Oh, no. That.
Yeah.
I did, but it's been so long I couldn't really remember.
Yeah, they were New Watchmen villains.
So they still exist then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in this universe, they do. In the Flashpoint Beyond universe.
Yeah.
I don't know if they... In the regular universe, I don't know.
And they also reference Sandman in it, which, again, Sandman showed up in the first issue that was Rebirth where he showed up.
Like the Demon Sandman?
Yeah.
Was he? Okay.
They specifically referenced Sandman.
That was in,
that was Rebirth. I was thinking
That was Doomsday Clock.
Was it Doomsday Clock?
That was like issue one or two.
Yeah, no, that's right. Because it was when you had the midnight opening, and I read it, and I'm like, is that who I think that is? Because I hadn't read Sandman at that point. And I was like, that is.
So, who's the little dude at the end? The kid.
I don't remember. I read it last
time,
week.
Time
he's one of the Time Lords or Time... Yeah.
Bandits?
No, not bandits.
Time Lords.
Yeah. But he's in the picture at the very beginning. There's a picture you see of them in the thing where Batman goes in. And it's a picture of all of them. But yeah, he's one of the Time Lords who's trying to stop them from doing stuff. But,
well, like Spencer was saying, like, Johns did a really nice job of, like, getting you kind of, like, up to speed and explaining things a little bit better. I was like, oh, I'll try it out. And it was like, I really liked it, so I want to get the rest of the issue. So
this kind of made you just was like... Man, I wish he did more books.
Yeah.
I mean, like, some of, like, the Geiger and some of the, like, stuff he's been doing has been good. But, like, there's just something about a Jeff Johns, like, superhero book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, he cares about and has a little interest in it, yeah.
Right. When someone has that encyclopedic knowledge, you know, he can pull out some obscure character. Even though Mime and Marionette was the other one's name, are his original creations, I kind of like him playing in the wider DC universe a little bit better and trying to get cute with his own stuff.
So is this going to have ramifications throughout the DC universe, or we don't know yet?
Who knows?
Okay.
Yeah, especially with the whole Dark Crisis thing going on, like, who knows what's going to matter?
Well, because even when they had, you had Rebirth, and then they did the Watchmen stuff again, and you know, then Wally West became Dr. Manhattan, and you think, oh, okay, well, they're but nothing really ever came of that.
Yeah. I thought it was really good, so. And that's all I have this week, or I'll talk about.
Okay. Seven Secrets.
I read that.
So, Casper's dead.
It appears so, yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Well, I mean, in the first issue, he says he dies.
Yeah.
But he actually dies in this one. He is decapitated.
Oh, thanks, Pat.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a story arc end to this?
Hey, there's only two issues left.
Yeah.
That's it? Okay.
But the end is kind of the beginning. So he has something in him. He has some kind of power.
Yeah, I'm going to say whatever that is he's probably not dead. Like, or at least he comes back long enough to save it.
His body is gone, but his power or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because he is, in fact, the seventh secret. So whatever it is that's inside him is going to defeat the demon and my guess is right the wrongs of what the...
It seems to have something to do with, like, that fairy kind of...
Yeah.
Island dimension that he was raised in has to do with it, and...
Yeah. This is almost where I wish it would have been a little bit longer there to flesh that out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because they only spent, like, what, an issue and a half, maybe two issues with him doing that in the fairyland.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, it's, what, 17 issues? But it's been pretty fast-paced.
No, I think this was 16.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, and then there's 17 and 18 left, I think.
Okay. But it's, it's been really interesting. With everything's happened up to this point, you kind of go, how's he going to end this?
Yeah, with two issues left.
Yeah, I mean, had this been the end of... the penultimate issue, and then, okay, he gets reborn, he does the thing, he does whatever. Okay, but with two issues, it's kind of like, it feels like there's a different end game going on here.
Well, one thing is probably, like, you know, next issue he comes back and he saves, and then, like, the last issue will be kind of like the, then after.
The epilogue. After,
yeah, kind of deal, maybe.
Yeah, that could be,
I actually, like, I know we were talking about, like, this kind of seems like it needed to wrap up, but I also kind of wish the series of, like, was a little bit longer, so it could have delved in more of, like, you know, the secret society, and just, like, you know what I mean, like, the history.
Oh, that'd be great.
And what I mean, just, like, that kind of stuff. But then, though, if you do all that stuff, it might become stupid and boring, so.
Well, that's just it's, you know, the Hitchcock thing. Where, don't show me what it is. It's scarier than if you show me what it is. And so, not knowing what the secrets are, probably better than knowing what the secrets are. Because no one's going to come up with seven secrets that are that great. You'd be like, it's kind of lame. But, that's what I read.
Batman Urban Legends. The one main story that there was one standalone story in here that dealt with it had the Question and Batman teaming up, and it was like a kind of early in Batman's kind of career.
Which Question is it?
Vic.
Okay.
And it's the Question comes to Batman, and he wants his help to try to figure out if Bruce Wayne is like is he like trustworthy, is he like a good guy or is he a bad guy, because like all of his tech that he does keeps on going out, like, you know, ends up on the streets and, you know, and things like that. So it's like them teaming up, and like so they sneak into Wayne like into the Wayne Tower or one of like the factories or whatever, and they're kicking in doors and beating people up, and they get into this argument, and Batman takes off his mat, you know, takes off the cowl to show him that he's Bruce Wayne, and that, you know, like, so that you can trust Bruce Wayne, and, you know, they talk a little bit, and Batman leaves, and you can see that, the Question already had written on his notepad, Batman is Bruce Wayne, and then he wrote under, that he just wrote under there, and that he's trustworthy, you know, that, you know, so it's like, the question already knew that Batman was Bruce Wayne, he was just, you know, confirming it. And then the other main story in this one is more of the Mark Russell Super Pets storyline, that story that he's doing. It was just more of the different pets, or different animals, escaping and trying to make their way back to Batman and that stuff. And the bear ends up getting captured in.
We put a lock on the garbage can.
Okay.
The guy's walking by with the garbage can.
Yeah, it's going to be the first time he finds out. But it was just, it was all right. And then the other two stories were okay, but there wasn't really much to talk about there. Miles Morales, Spider-Man. So Miles and his mutated form clone who that end up having a fight with Ultimatum, who is Miles from the 616 universe, but an evil version.
At least he walked back with it and didn't just leave it.
And so they're like in these, they're stuck like in this place, like in between universes, and they end up having this fight. The two of them, both of the Miles, are able to kind of hold their own against Ultimatum. But then finally he's able to, like, show them, like, a vision of, like, because whenever in a Miles clone saga, there was three different clones. There was the one that is still with him, who is, like, Gulp or Glup or something like that. And, like, is that he can kind of, like, morph his body and get, like, really big, or, like, stretch his arms out and kind of weird thing. And then there was, like, one that had, like, a sonic kind of scream. And then there was one that was more, like, actual, looked like Miles and was, like, I guess more of, like, a perfect clone. But both of them died. But they saw this version of a universe where, that Miles beat the original Miles and has, like, taken over, I don't know if it's just, like, New York or if it's like the whole city, but he has like a regime of like, and he's like the ruler and stuff like that, and that's the universe that Miles' uncle end up going into previous issue. So now they have to enter into that universe to find and rescue his uncle, and I think that's it. I think anything else I had you guys might have read, so. Dave?
X-Men?
Yeah, I
read that. Number 10. Let's see, it starts with the X-Men at the treehouse.
What's up, Rex?
He's choking on it, man.
Okay.
What are you doing, buddy?
On fire.
What's that?
I said he smelled his own fart.
Okay, X-Men.
I'm sorry he said that, Rex. You can go bite him.
Then, it was a very Wolverine heavy issue.
Yeah, Rex is going to pop his claws. Listen, then they have. You see Rogue? She has a big rifle. You think she's going to shoot somebody. But no. It's a scanner rifle that Forge created, and they're scanning the Orcus facility on Phobos, the moon of Arrakis, Mars, and they spot adamantium skeletons there. So Wolverine / Laura wants to get up there to see if it's any of her siblings. So she sneaks aboard some kind of cargo up there, and she finds Lady Deathstrike. who is being passed around by the mad scientist up there and is poisoned by the adamantium. And then the other story in this is back to Rome. They vent. Fei Lung, the guy, finds a Wolverine up there and vents them out, and they're saved by Rogue, who is searching for Game World. Do you know, Spencer, do you know why they're...
I have no idea.
Why that whole Game World thing?
He's probably one of the other 10,000 X-Men books. I don't...
Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you read, like, how many of the X-Men books do
just
you
this, just this? This one, really.
Because I read this and Wolverine, and that's it.
I know, they're betting on ways to... It's like this floating casino. They're betting on ways to destroy the Earth.
Yeah.
Or how the Earth's going to be destroyed. But I thought there was another way. I thought there was another reason, like, Rogue is interested in this. And she goes to see Destiny about this. And Destiny says, go to Gambit's friend, who turns out to be Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. Who's on the floating thing.
That was funny, because they contact him, and he's like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. And then they show him, and Rocket's, like, dressed in, like, a leisure suit.
Yeah, like, all white suit, like...
Gambling up on Game World. It's a good issue. I think Jerry Duggan's doing a good...
Yeah, I think he's definitely done a better, like, job of, at least with just the X-Men book. Like, I'm definitely enjoying his run more than, like, Hickman's run.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
There's like, an actual, like, story there.
Yeah.
Other than just, like, weird one-shot issues that don't tie into each other at all.
Right. Yeah, this seems to have a continuing story going.
This has almost made me want to check out some of the other X books, but then it's just like I have no idea what even started.
Yeah, all the new number ones are coming, see?
Yeah, but I would have to read all the new number ones before then, though. That's how I am. I can't. Maybe if they had their trades in print, that you could have them, that I could check them out, but, you know.
There's a paper shortage.
Well, all the new number ones, not the volume number ones. Like Knights of X is next week. You can try that.
I read a new one from Dark Horse, Breakout.
I read that.
I really like this. I was hooked on this and see what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's the premise in this. It's on like Earth, like we are, and 3 years ago, 216 cube spaceships came to Earth and are circling the globe, and every few days. They send these drones down that take 36 kids and imprison them up in one of these cube ships. And this has just become like a way of life for the government. And they just say, we got to get on with their lives. We can't communicate with them, so we can't worry about this anymore. And then we meet the character... Liam, whose brother Tommy, younger brother Tommy, was taken, and he pretty much can't go on with his life because without Tommy, and the mom wants to give him money, use his brother's money to go to college, and he doesn't want to do that. So one day he has an idea, and he gets some of his friends together, his high school friends together, who have different interests, and he tells them.
Skills, we'll say.
Skills, yes. We're gonna break these kids out, and we're gonna do it by using this drone, by this reprogrammed drone I bought off the black market. I thought it was really good.
Yeah,
So
they got to figure out how to break out. But yeah it was good.
Yeah, it's Zach Kaplan.
Oh, he's done some decent.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, Eclipse, I think, in that one Port of Earth.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next issue of that one.
So, a Dark Horse book you liked? Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. This was not.
Was there enough swear words in it?
I don't remember any specifically. Yeah.
I wouldn't not that I would have minded it, but
that could be use their allotment.
Yeah, he hit
their allotment, yeah. Yearly allotment.
Yeah. And that's all I got. I did read the new Reckless hardcover, but I'm going to wait for Mike
to catch up.
That, but it was
I did read that Image anthology thing. But like, I mean, there was some interesting. Like Jeff Johns had a cool story.
Yeah,
well,
read that one. What'd you think of that one?
It was interesting. It was that ending of it makes me interested to see where where the story's gonna go.
Yeah.
I think there's a Radiant Black story in there.
Yeah.
You know, for anybody a fan of the book and stuff. And there's some of the stories were okay. Some of them were better than others.
Yeah, I did like the Jeff Johns one the best.
Yeah.
I read Batgirl's 5. It was good. I can't remember much because I read it early.
But that's all I got.
Okay. I had a few more. Sandman Universe Nightmare Country?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
But I think I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
I think you liked it.
This girl's like having nightmares and stuff and is drawing... Drawing the Corinthian, and
that's the guy with his teeth for eyes.
Yeah, and then another guy sees her pictures, but it turns out like the Corinthian knows him or something. And yeah, it was kind of all over the place. But the idea I like the idea behind it is, Dream created the Corinthian for nightmares, but he's now let him out into the real world because there's something even worse out there.
Yeah.
So.
The Corinthian as a kid?
Oh, I don't know.
They were drawing him as like a kid stuff.
Okay.
And then he shows up to this girl's apartment and just comes, do I know you? And he just walks right in. How'd you paint this? Why are you painting this?
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Yeah.
That was one of those, wow. I liked it. I don't know what I read.
Easy now. Another one I read was Vanity. This was a new one, I think, from Scout.
This is about Prince's girlfriend, right?
Yes.
No. My big problem with this is it had 2 pages of text at the beginning. Vamp, I'm going to go get a copy so I can show you guys, so you don't think I'm losing my mind and just old.
I'm actually a little disappointed it's not about Prince and his girlfriend.
Or Vanity Six.
You can't help losing your mind.
Well, that happened later.
Well, with the cover, it could be, but... So there's the cover.
Very sexy
cover.
Two opening pages?
Yeah. So there's the text on the opening pages.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think if I had to read that, I'd put that book.
Yeah, so I did not read it.
It's microscopic hieroglyphics.
Yeah, it's I don't even know what font that is. 4-point font, maybe? So I didn't really, and I'm guessing a lot of that is the backstory of this being a real person and stuff. I did not read it. I didn't even know how to read it. I don't have a magnifying glass. The issue itself was fine. It's basically this girl is born and she's weak and the mother dies in childbirth. The father abandons the child. The child is then grows up and becomes this character who they're burying in the beginning, and they actually have to move her grave because like she's a witch or something. It kind of goes through it, but it was just weird. They did all this time to put in this backstory that literally nobody can read because it should have been 4 pages, and they condensed it to 2.
It's like 5-point medieval script.
Yeah,
that's the best way to explain it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I really don't remember much of the story. Green Lantern 12, which obviously I missed a lot of this because I hadn't read the prior 11 issues. Well, I read the first 2, but then I wasn't loving it. But basically there's been some big thing going on, and John Stewart has to sacrifice himself to Jack Kirby to restore everything, and everybody gets their rings back.
Did you say Jack Kirby?
Yeah.
Okay. Like Jack King Kirby?
Yeah. Well, here, Spencer, you read it?
Yeah, I
read talk it. About it. I'll go grab my copy to show Mike.
Well, he's supposedly the most powerful person in the DC universe.
Jack Kirby?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
He created the new gods.
He's appeared in Marvel comics though too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, because that's how powerful he is. He can appear in both.
Yeah. Because like in this series, like he's been what they call awakened or something like that. Where like now he has like Stewart has like kind of like godlike abilities now, and like so he like uses that energy to like restart the power battery that got destroyed earlier in the issues. But like I don't know, it was just I was kind of just reading it to get through it, so to get, you know, since it's the last issue, you know, of the series. And you can see like the art is like it's okay, but it's
isn't
not
that Kirby.
That's Kirby.
Yeah, I don't think I was being silly.
No, that's Kirby right there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow.
They don't call him that. He's the source wall. But it definitely was drawn as Jack Kirby.
And he's in a suit, too.
Yeah. Huh, so, cool. But basically, at the end, everybody gets their rings back. Something happens to Simon Baz. I'm not sure exactly. There's like this bucket of rings, which was, I found, really weird.
The Flash was
there
just
was, yeah.
Around, just, you that's get a cool. ring,
yeah.
you get a
yeah,
ring.
Yeah, there was this, yeah.
Oprah showed up.
Yeah.
Some people got night. Different rings.
Yeah, like now the squirrel lantern is a blue lantern now.
Yeah, and one of Star Sapphire is now a purple lantern.
Yeah, because they got rid of.
But yeah, Flash
layers.
Is running around with a bucket of rings. Yeah, there we go. See, they got the wrong different color rings.
And
oh,
wow. The Far Sector.
Simon
Green
Baz
Lantern.
Turns into I don't know what.
And the Far Sector Green Lantern has a more traditional.
Oh, is that who that is? Okay.
Yeah.
And then all the dead come back and talk to John. Or no, that's not John. That's what's his name?
That's
Simon Baz.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and then at the end, John is repowered as the Emerald Knight with a big sword. Why would a Green Lantern need a sword?
To cut things.
Yeah,
man. Okay. And then the last one I read was Midnight Rose, which was a one shot, written by Jim Starlin. But man, was it drawn like a 90s comic the entire way. But it's basically this girl. I don't know, something about her birth. I don't remember exactly. But she has like this power with flowers. And she like finds the love of her life and finds out he cheats on her. So then she bites his lip and all of a sudden this plant starts growing out of it and encases him. And he then turns into flowers and she throws him away. And, like, gets confronted by the police because the flowers have his DNA. And she's like, you have no idea. And then just kind of goes through that. And then finally it's time. She meets the love of her life who dies. She gives up. She's old at this point. Basically sits on a stump and lets the plants overtake her. And then new shoots sprout up and these four new women are born. So it was interesting.
Who put that out?
That was Aftershock. But the like I said, the art was just very 90s. It was really kind of weird in
like
that
image
regard.
90s or
image 90s, yeah, very image 90s art. Yeah,
lots of pouches.
Not pouches. Here, it's in that stack.
No
right
ankles.
There. It's the big thick one.
You know what to grab the big thick one, Mike.
Yeah, grab the thick one. Oh,
that's your weapon of choice.
But like, yeah, there's what's happened.
Touche.
What happens to that guy? There's no nudity per se, but yeah, it's just it was just very 90s.
Yeah,
you know, that's just a very 90s look. Yeah,
yeah.
The faces were drawn very, you know, image 90. So, but that's all. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of visuals, which is good for you guys listening. So I hope you enjoy. If you can, swing by your store and grab a copy to look at.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's all I got. So,
Colin, what's coming out next week?
Thank goodness next week is a much bigger week than this week. Lots of good books. We have, start with DC. I know I'm excited for this one, and you guys should be excited too. But we have Aquaman Green Arrow Deep Target number 7 of 7. So this is going to wrap up and make sense.
What if they extend it?
Bad things will happen.
Oh, bad things will happen?
Rex woke up at the mention of
Deep Target. Volume
2. Yes.
Yeah.
Batman Beyond the White Knight number 2 is next week. Dark Knights of Steel number 6 is next week.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to see a theme here. DC Connect is next week. Deathstroke Inc. number 8 is a Shadow War tie-in. We have Detective Comics 1059. Weird with this not being weekly anymore. Back to monthly. Joker 14, the last issue. Or is it?
It's the Joker. You can never tell.
We have Justice League 75, The Death of the Justice League, with an acetate cover. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
What's the price on that bad boy?
It is.
Like a $6.99?
No. It is $6.99, yeah.
Is it going to be bagged with an armband?
It is not. That would have been a good idea, but no. Then we have Robin, number 13, which is also a Shadow War tie-in. We have the Rogues, number 2. This is the Black Label Josh Williamson
the
book.
The big one.
Yeah,
big one.
I got to tell you, that first one was way better than it had any right to be.
And then Trial of the Amazons 2, which is the end of Trial of the Amazons. I just got text. Okay, we have, from Marvel, we're getting Amazing Spider-Man number 1. Ooh. Woo!
We sure?
Woo! Yeah. We have Hulk Grand Design Madness number 1, otherwise known as number 2. Knights of X number 1. We have Marvel previews coming next week.
I'm detecting a pattern.
You
here.
Are. Punisher number 2. I think Pat might be interested in that one. And Thor 24, which is also $7.50, which is also prelude to Hulk versus Banner. Or no, Thor versus Hulk Banner War. Okay. Sorry, Banner War. then for everybody else, we have Bloodstained Teeth. This is a vampire book from Image. British Paranormal Society, Time Out of Mind, which is a Mignolaverse book from Dark Horse. I'm looking forward to this one, the Dave Stevens Rocketeer Artist Edition. We'll crack that one open and see if I take it home. Ghost Cage number 2. This is from Image. I'm hoping it makes more sense than number 1 did. Godzilla Rivals versus King Ghidorah, one-shot. We have Naughty List number 1. This is from Aftershock. About Santa. So you know all about it.
Dave wrote the book.
He did?
Yeah. Literally.
I pre-ordered that one.
Okay, good.
So I hope I'm not
I don't think you'll be disappointed. We have previews.
So regret it.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's crazy. I know. We have Saga number 58. Yay. Okay, we'll come back. We'll loop around to that one. We have Usagi Yojimbo, Lone Goat and Kid. Vermilion Zero, this is, I do not know what this one is, to be honest with you, but I ordered 10 of them, so jumped out at me in some fashion. We have Demons number 2. That's only a three-parter. But then, Mike, what book have you been waiting for a very long time?
The I Love Lucy story?
No, I mean, this is a final issue of a series that you've been waiting for. You've been enjoying. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting for it.
Oh, the last Ronin?
Number 5.
For real?
For real,
it's actually
sir.
Coming?
It's on my invoice, so I'm assuming it's coming. I can't make any promises, but the assumption is that if it's on my invoice, it should be coming.
It's been really good.
Okay, well, it's coming. So, that's all I got.
I can't remember when it started.
Yeah, okay, three years?
At least two.
In the before times?
No, was it before times?
No, I don't think it was before times, but it's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
So that's what's going on. This is, well, previews orders are due tomorrow. I know it seems really early because of their weird system. It's due on the fourth Friday of the month, and since the first was a Friday, technically the 22nd is the fourth Friday. Problem is, it's due on the fourth Friday at 4:59 a.m., so I don't know if being due on Friday really counts as Friday, because I'm not going to be up at 4:59 a.m. checking to see if people have gotten late orders in. So it's due Thursday night, so I will be working on that tonight. I have a 10 o'clock hockey game, so I'll be up late working on it.
You're still watching the Blackhawks?
There's only a few left, so I'm mostly watching to see how the young guys do.
Okay.
So next Friday is book club. We're doing Black Science Volume 1. I do have a couple copies in. And let's see, X-Men month is wrapping up. We're also a little over 2 weeks away from Free Comic Book Day. So that's exciting. Got to get ready for that. So That's
oh,
all.
Come on, we know what, it won't be till the night before.
Well, of course. but oh, we did have fun. We went out. Pat and I ran out Friday. Did I talk about this? I don't even remember anymore. But we ran out and bought a big collection, and we're having fun getting stuff out from that. But we've gotten a lot of really good books. It was kind of nice getting some good stuff in besides the standard yuck. So keep an eye out for stuff we're posting on new books. So that's what I got. Spencer, send us home.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.